This is the first Sunday of the month, and we typically do communion on the first Sunday of the month. But before we do that this morning, I want to talk just a little bit about church format and tradition. I mentioned it last week briefly in the message. There's great leeway, I believe, in the scriptures in how we do church. Much of what we do on Sunday morning is a little more than tradition. We have to admit that. But at Village Bible Church, we typically do we celebrate the Lord's Supper, as we call it, communion, on the first Sunday of the month. We also, on a typical Sunday, we sing songs, we give tithes, we hear teaching, and we pack all that into just a little over an hour somehow. It's always a rush, it seems. Other churches do it differently. That's okay. We do find references in the New Testament to how the early church did things. And of course, we want to look to that as our example and a model. But I'm pretty sure that the way we do church looks a lot different than the way the first century church did. As much as we want to think it's a lot alike, it's probably quite different. But the basic principles remain the same, as best as we can tell. For instance, in the first days since Jesus ascended back to heaven, the church has met on Sundays, the first day of the week. We find reference to this in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2, when Paul directed the church at Corinth regarding the collection of money by the church. It was to be done, he instructed, on the first day of the week, every week, which was Sunday. And so we give of our own income on the first day of the week for this reason. And then in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, we find Paul and his missionary team gathered together in Troas, with the church there in Troas. They were meeting at Troas, it seems, regularly. The text seems to indicate that. In this reference, we find them gathered together on Sunday to break bread. Interesting. What does that mean? What does it mean to break bread? Now, we assume correctly that at least in part that refers to what we're doing this morning. In fact, I'm actually going to literally break bread here in a minute. But if we turn to 1 Corinthians 11, which is the passage I normally use from 1 Corinthians 11 to introduce communion, and I read those verses that Paul wrote. But if we back up a little bit in 1 Corinthians 11 before that, we find that it says, when Paul instructs the church at Corinth, when you come together, it's not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal. One goes hungry, another gets drunk. Now, obviously, Paul is correcting some error in the Corinthian practice here. But they're eating the Lord's Supper, and then they're eating a meal, it seems. So I think it's safe to assume that from what Paul told, or from what we find there in Acts 20, verse 7, at Troas, when they were breaking bread, they were probably eating a meal, not just breaking bread and taking communion. And so it is appropriate that on this Sunday, we're actually going to break bread together downstairs and eat a meal together. It's biblical. It's not that we have to eat together every week to be biblical, but there's something special and valuable about this practice that the early church recognized. They caught on to that there's something special about breaking bread in the sense of sitting down and eating a meal together. Very much in the same way Jesus did with his apostles on that night before he was betrayed. You know the story. They didn't just go up there and eat a cracker and drink a little bit of juice and go on their merry way. They ate a meal. And at some point during that meal, Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take this and eat it," essentially. And when he was doing that, he also gave them the shocker that when they do this, he said, "You're eating my body." Right? That should be the response. Ugh. But Jesus was making a very vivid illustration that when we put our faith in what he was about to do on the cross, when his body was going to be broken and his blood was going to be shed, that we are, in a sense, taking eat. We're taking in what he's done on our behalf. And so this morning, as we pass crackers around, they're just crackers. Nothing miraculous happens when you eat of it. You don't get saved when you eat of it. If you aren't already saved, eating those crackers does you no good. In fact, in that same passage in 1 Corinthians 11, Paul says, "Now there's some of you that are sick, and some have even died because you have taken the Lord's Supper in you've taken it lightly." And so it is a very serious thing. That this is for believers, because it's a representation of what we have done by putting our faith in Jesus. So I like the picture of tearing off these pieces of bread and distributing them. Because there's the emphasis there that we collectively have put our faith in one Savior. And that unifies us. And so as we take this bread, and as we in a minute drink the juice, we'll do it together. Because it emphasizes the unity we have by our common faith in our common Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And so the men are going to come forward now. And as they do, you need to be taking, you guys can go ahead and come forward. We need to be taking this time briefly to examine our hearts and confess unconfessed sin. That's one of the things Paul was getting at in 1 Corinthians 11 when he was talking about they're taking communion lightly. Don't take it lightly. Yes, it is a great celebration of what Jesus did for us. It's a great remembrance of what he did for us. But in the midst of that, we should remember the sacrifice he made for us. Our sin is serious. We still struggle with sin, even as believers. We still have that old flesh, that old sin nature that wells up inside of us. And sometimes we yield to it and we sin. So take this time now to confess those sins to Jesus.
Lord Jesus, we thank you for your death on the cross on our behalf. The sacrifice you made for us. We thank you for the picture you gave the apostles gathered in that upper room. We thank you for the remembrance we have now as we do this, of not just that night when the apostles sat around or reclined around the table with you, but more importantly, Lord, the next day when you were crucified, brutally beaten and bruised, your body broken, as you took the punishment that we deserved for sin. Give us, Lord, a sense of the impact of that now as we take this bread together. In your name, amen. In that same passage of Scripture, it says, after they had eaten, Jesus took the wine, not juice. He gave it to the disciples. And he asked them to drink it again in remembrance of him.